on this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors. Centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
King, we're here at the launch of the Women in Sport Week coming up next Monday, 1st of March. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I think weeks like this really show you how valued women in sport are and the visibility that is growing. And also, like, we still have a few bits and bobs to get there to be the same as the men. But yeah, this campaign, Same Energy, is great. You know, we put in the same energy as the men do, especially, you know, we know. The men and the women's rugby team especially, like, we do the same as them, and it's nice to kind of reap the same rewards as that, especially when we're getting the performances. So yeah, it's really exciting, and it just shows that people really do care about women in sport.
You've probably had a couple of weeks now to let it sink in, the announcement that you're going to be captain of the Irish women's rugby team for 2026. So can you tell us how you felt when Scott told you about it first?
I was a little bit speechless, to be honest, which normally I'm not. And it's an absolute honour and an absolute privilege. I really didn't expect it, to be honest, with the year that I'd had. And coming back from injury, I think I'd played 20 minutes, and then Scott kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "Will you come upstairs? I want to ask you something." And I thought I was in trouble, to be honest. Initially, I was like, "Oh God, what have I done?" And then when he asked me, yeah, I got shivers. Like, I couldn't believe it. And yeah, I keep being like, oh, it's a dream come true, but it's honestly beyond my wildest dreams. I'm so excited to lead such a, you know, great group of girls out, and I'm so lucky to be surrounded by such an amazing team.
Have you had many words now with Sam and Adele on how best to pick up the gauntlet?
I'm so lucky. When I came into the 15 squad, that I had them as my captains. They made me feel so good and so special, and I just want to do the same in the role. And, you know, I'm not replacing them. I'm kind of just building on what they've already set. So to have them still in the squad and to have their continued support, I'm so lucky. And they're still in that leadership team, and it'll be very much, they'll still be really heavily involved in the leadership. So I'm really lucky to have them and to learn off them.
You mentioned the year you had in 2025, almost coming up to a year now, such a horrific knee injury, but you're back. looking back on it now, can you believe it even happened?
Yeah, it was an absolute whirlwind. You know, before it, I was, you know, on a really good trajectory. I, you know, had the Olympics and was playing 15s, and I was almost like, this is too good to be true. And then obviously the injury came, and yeah, it was heartbreaking. You know, I was told I might not run again, which was really hard to deal with when rugby gives me so much and gives me so much joy and is kind of my purpose, really. And to get that kind of identity taken away from you is really tough, and I've learned a lot from that and kind of have this new appreciation and this new perspective on everything, and just how grateful I am to be in the position I'm in. And every time I get to run out on that pitch, I am really grateful. And a lot of people get that taken away from them, and I did, and the reality that it might have never come back was really tough for me. So yeah, it was really hard, and to miss that Rugby World Cup was tough. But then, you know, I needed to take the positives away from it, and it was really exciting being in Ireland while that World Cup was going on, and young girls coming up to me being like, oh, I've started playing rugby because of the girls. And that was great, and it was so inspirational, and it reminded me why I do it and why we all do it. So yeah, it was a tough year, and I wouldn't want to do it again, but definitely gained a lot from it, and definitely bring a lot that I learned into this new captaincy role and into the team.
Was it a tough decision to decide whether to go over with the squad and maybe be there on the periphery during the World Cup, or to stay at home and focus on your rehab?
Yeah, it was kind of tough. I knew that I needed to be here and needed to be rehabbing. Probably a little bit selfish of me. I did stay here a majority of it and focus on myself and focus on my knee and just try get better, and all I kind of in my head was to get back. But I did go over for some of the games, and myself and Dorothy Wall got to present the girls their jerseys for the quarterfinal, which is one of the biggest privileges I've had to this day, and a day that I'll never forget. And it made me feel so valued in that team. You know, through my whole injury, they made me feel like I was still a part of it, and that just shows you the culture, how good it is in that team, and that we're kind of like a family and we all do genuinely care about each other. So yeah, it was a really emotional day, but a day I'll never forget.
What is it about this team? Like, there does seem to be something so special and absolutely genuine in that your teammates, but you're also all pretty close off the pitch. Like,
Yeah, it's funny, we always joke about it. We're like, we spend all day together training, and then we choose to spend our time outside of their training together. Yeah, we've done a lot of work on our culture. The girls really did the work before we, as sevens girls, came into the squad. You know, a few years ago, the girls were, the 15 squad was probably at rock bottom, and they've come on leaps and bounds since then and done so much work on, you know, we speak about our green wave a lot, and how we're kind of building, and anyone that we pick up along the way is kind of touched that green wave. And yeah, that's really what it's built around. And we just really do care about each other, and we enjoy each other's company, which I think is really important. And I do think you can see that out on the pitch, that we enjoy playing together. And that's, if you're not enjoying it, like, kind of why are you doing it? So we keep it fun and we keep it light, but then, you know, when we have to be serious, we do as well. So it's just finding that balance.
You made your return a little bit earlier than expected, playing for the Wolfhounds in the Celtic Challenge. How are you feeling before going out for that first game?
Yeah, definitely very nervous. I remember before that game, and I was only playing 20 minutes, telling people I'm more nervous now than I was for the Olympic Games. Like, it was, I can't even describe it. I don't even know what I was nervous about. But I think when you're rehabbing, and a lot of people can probably relate to it that are going through rehab, you think about that first game back so much. It's all you kind of have to think about. And it was a really special day, and I ended up playing against the Clovers, which is the other Irish team. So all my friends are on the other team as well. So yeah, it was the day that a really special day to me, and I really appreciate all the people that were involved in it. And you know, it wasn't just that day, a lot of hard work went into that day. You know, there was a lot of lows, to be honest, but it was all worth it, I think I can say now. And yeah, it was really special.
Is it that focus of getting back on the pitch that helps you through those rehab months, or is there something else? Like, you know, I know your leg was in a brace straight for like 12 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it must be hard to have the carrot of going back on the pitch when you can't even bend your knee.
Oh my God. There was a long time that I never thought I'd play again, and I got told that I probably wouldn't play again. So that was a lot to deal with, but I did kind of get over it. And I was like, if I don't play again, I don't play again, but I'm going to do everything I can so that I've given it every opportunity. So yeah, I leave no stone unturned. I did every little extra. I did, you know, I didn't miss a rep, didn't miss a day. And it was really tough. Like, there were days that obviously I didn't want to get up and do it, but I think I wanted to prove the surgeon wrong because I'm really stubborn. And then at the same time, I love rugby so much and I love the team, and I wanted to get back to play it. So yeah, I had a few reasons, and I was really lucky to be surrounded by the girls, and they kept me going as well. And a lot of girls before me had a lot injuries and gotten back from them and gotten back and being better, so I was really lucky to have them inspirations.
Yourself and Dana probably went through a lot together, or sorry, yourself and Dorothy,
Doro, yeah.
Went through a lot together is it great now that you both seem to be kind of coming good around the same time?
Yeah, oh my God, we're so lucky that we had each other. We kind of trauma bonded over over our injuries. You know, she was like a week, 2 weeks later than me, and we both obviously had to miss that World Cup. So yeah, we had each other. I wouldn't have probably got through some of the days without her. You know, she was just always there for me, and anytime I was upset or she was upset, we just texted each other, and we kind of were the only two at certain points that really understood what each other were going through, and we really appreciated that, and we knew at the time how lucky we were to have each other, and we'll always, you know, have that time together, and I'll always really appreciate her for that and for being there for me. And we still text all the time, you know, we're only texting yesterday and checking up on each other, seeing how we're doing, and she's getting on great over in the Prem, and we're just excited to play together again. And I think during our rehab we spoke about that a lot. We spoke about the day that we'll be back in the green jersey together will be a really special one, and I can't wait.
You mentioned the Prem there. Obviously, we've seen maybe a lot of the players that would have featured last year in the Celtic Challenge, like Brittany Hogan, Aoife Wafer, Niamh O'Dowd over there. Is it something you'd like to see for yourself in the future?
I mean, like, obviously, it's kind of like the pinnacle of women's rugby at a club level. It's where all the best internationals go. So, yeah, probably eventually I'd go over, but I am really, really happy in Ireland at the moment. I'm really enjoying my rugby with the Wolfhounds, and seeing the young girls coming through and, you know, inspiring them, I really enjoy that. And it's nice to be able to work so tightly with Scott here in the centralized program, and yeah, just keeping the rugby in Ireland going. And you know, they're investing more and more into it, which is great. And if there's no reason to leave, I don't want to leave. So yeah, I guess the door's always open, but I am really happy playing my rugby here, and if I'm improving while I'm here, I don't see why I'd leave.
Six Nations opener against England in Twickenham. We're hearing now that up upon like 60,000 tickets could be sold, looking like a record breaker for the tournament. How exciting is that as a prospect?
Yeah, I seen that the other day, and it's so exciting. I think it's why we do it, and the work that went on in the World Cup and how inspiring that World Cup was is showing. Like, they're selling out stadiums, and yeah, like we talk about the same energy, and we're able to sell out stadiums like the men are, and we're playing in stadiums, the same stadiums as the men, which is what we deserve. And we're going to put in performances that are just as entertaining, or if not more entertaining than the men. So yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be such an exciting day, and we're all raring to go. You know, I think we're in camp in a couple of weeks time, and yeah, all our focuses at the moment already are on that game, and doing a job on that day. And the fact that the stadiums, the tickets are selling, makes us feel great, and the, you know, shows that the growth in women's sport and the growth in women's rugby.
Do you take a little bit of the momentum off the men's win at the weekend over England in Twickenham? Do you try and feed a little bit of that positivity into the camp?
100%. I think a lot of us watched that, and afterwards we're texting each other being like, oh my God, like that, if they can do it, we can do it. And the energy that they came out with is the same that probably we want to come out with. So it was a really inspiring performance, and, you know, fair play to the lads. It was a great performance, and hopefully we can replicate some of that and have the same energy and the same vibe going into it.
Quite a few almost grudge matches for you, the Six Nations. You'll be coming back up against France away, and the final game here, India Viva, which is incredible in its own right, against Scotland, who you probably would have been hoping to beat last year.
Yeah. So yeah, I think a lot of people have spoken about that France game, just with the quarterfinal, it being so close. And you know, we haven't beaten them in a long time, and I think we have a really, really special team and some new players coming through, and you know, our culture's great, and a lot of people are back from injuries and things like that. You know, the stars seem to be aligning. So yeah, I think we definitely owe France one after that quarterfinal, and then yeah, the historical first standalone game in the Aviva. I think there's a 14,000+ tickets sold, so yeah, it's really exciting, and can't wait to hopefully beat Scotland there in front of all our families, all our friends, and hopefully loads of fans and loads of young girls who want to come to it and see us play. And yeah, it's going to be an amazing Six Nations. You know, we're already so excited for it, and the fact that we're playing in loads of new stadiums and tickets are selling just makes it even more exciting. So hopefully we can put in the performances to for the fans.
Erin, thank you
so
much.
Thank you so much.